This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a guest that was on our show back in July 27, 2017. A lot of people think he's disappeared, but you know what? He went and got himself stronger in more facets financially, company-wise. They changed their name on February the 20th to from Hispanic International to Life on Earth, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB, LFER, and their company is really a brand accelerator company in the alternative beverage and snack category. And with us today is the CEO and chairman to talk about some of the acquisitions that they made and where they're going in 2018, no other than Fernando Oswaldo Leonzo. Fernando, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Everett. Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
You know, tell my listeners why you guys changed the name of the company from Hispanica International to Life on Earth. And what is the focus on the company now going forward?
Sure. Well, thank you very much for having me again. I wanted to make it clear to your audience and obviously our investor base, if you will, that back last year, even prior to our acquisition of Victoria's Kitchen, we knew that the company's direction had to go in the direction of the fastest growing category in the beverage and snack space, if you will. These are what you would normally term as alternative or functional aspects of the marketplace. It wasn't good enough to simply be another Me Too, so to speak, in putting out products that, for all intents and purposes, were dealing in low margin, and you know, a generic or sort of like a commoditized versions of juices and nectars and stuff like that. So we knew last year that we needed to make the shift to appeal to a broader audience, a healthier, conscious audience, if you will. And so, of course, also we also wanted to make sure that the products that we introduced into the marketplace were also environmentally conscious and, of course, better for you and had some functionality to it. So as we finished the acquisition of Victoria's Kitchen, we began to also reformulate that product line as well as our Grand Nevada product lines. It became apparent that we needed a name change. And so Life on Earth is certainly a name that appeals to a broader audience. It also emphasizes the naturally better way of our brands, if you will, to the consumer and how we're going to, you know, continue to grow in that aspect of that segment of the market, the higher margin and higher growth rate, if you will, of the beverage and snack categories.
You know, I give very few personal endorsements, but I will say this. I totally endorse your company. Most importantly, I endorse you. To me, you're one of the hardest working, caring guys out there in the OTC QB market.
Thank you, sir.
When you were on my show last year, your stock was at 8.5 cents. Now it's at 50 cents. I told everybody to buy the stock back then. You repaid down your convertible debt, and you did a joint venture with the Sherco in Los Angeles. What is that all about?
Well, basically, there have been opportunities presented to the company, as you can imagine. The more we gain momentum and our shareholder base increases, it becomes apparent that there are opportunities always to screen, if you will. And so with Sherco's help, who has a long history of experience, especially in the private equity realm, of screening potential companies for either acquisitions or strategic alliances or partnerships, this was an avenue for us to be able to do so with the help of an experienced private equity group. And so as we continue to grow, you know, we're looking forward to making some key acquisitions that we think that would be accretive to our business, especially in our space. But there is an extensive due diligence process that is necessary in order to make sure that these companies and businesses are well aligned with what our total vision is. So that was the whole purpose of setting up a joint venture, if you will, with an experienced private equity group.
Your physical year ends in May. the fiscal year of 2017, that being ending in May, your revenues were $2.4 million. Already, the first two quarters, you guys are up around $1.7 million. I got a projection that you guys will project between $3.1 and $3.5 million. How do you feel about that in 2018?
We feel confident. We feel confident. That's predicated on our own organic growth. As we continue to consolidate our administrative aspect of the different businesses that we have right now, we currently have three subsidiaries. We're at the cusp of closing an acquisition that we've made an announcement about, and that, of course, is the acquisition of Giant Beverage, which is here out of our home base in New York. Our goal is to conclude and close that transaction at the beginning of this quarter, which we're already in our fiscal fourth quarter. And, of course, predicated on that, our goal is to go and double our business from the 3.2 to 3.4 revenue base. It increased that to 7.5 million in total revenues or even more with the consolidation of the Giant Beverage acquisition.
Well, let's talk about the Giant Beverage for a second. If you pull that off, what kind of revenues are we talking about?
Well, we're looking at a total revenues platform between 7 and 8 million as a whole. A considerable amount of that will come from our two platforms, both on the East Coast and the West Coast. But then the real accelerator for our business, of course, is the revenues and growth from our brands. Because once our brands are certainly the new products and the new SKUs that we've been working on for quite a bit, actually, those will be ready to be launched within the next quarter. And, of course, the first place that we'll be launching them will be from these two platforms. So our objective at that point is to start off as a $7 to $8 million starting point and try to reach the eight-figure mark as quickly as possible, and most of that being driven by our own proprietary brands. Currently, like I said, we have three brands under our belt. Our objective is within this year, 2018, to add perhaps another two brands, one in the beverage and certainly perhaps one in the snack category. And I think that would really position our company where we would have four to five brands that belong to us under our own platform and sold through our distribution points on the East and West Coast, and of course have it grow from out there to throughout nationwide through other DSD networks throughout the country, and even to through the club channels going directly to certain major chains and retailers in the United States, where we think that's where the real growth will come from with our own brands.
My guest today is Life on Earth, Inc. They were formerly known as Hispanica International. Now they trade on the OTCQB, new ticker symbol LFER. Their market cap's only around $10.6 million. And it floats only around $5.2 million. I still think it's undervalued here at 50 cents. Hey, I just want to know if you could bring us up to date on the agreement that you had with Hemp 20 in San Francisco. What is that going to do for your company?
Sure. So in the process of trying to gauge what brands are the best fit for our company, what we have done is, in the case with Hemp2O, is we're aligning ourselves with a brand that has been able to demonstrate to some degree a level of proof of concept, meaning that they reached a certain revenue mark, distribution, especially out of their home territory in Northern California. That this would be the first arrangement where we actually have a distribution agreement both of our two DSD networks, both in the East Coast and on the West Coast. And our goal is to work that brand through our two DSD networks, and then, of course, predicated on the results that we see and our capabilities in being able to handle that brand, our goal is to see if we can make closer alliances with them, because it is a brand that would attract would certainly fit in the mold of what we're looking for in the higher growth category. So that's one of the brands. We're also engaging with two other brands, different segments of the marketplace. But again, same concept, alternative beverage to higher growth functionalities and so forth, and the capabilities to be able to be sold in the mainstream marketplace. So I think that Hemp2O is a perfect example of demonstrating our abilities to engage a brand, see if it works out, and if it does, then we move forward and continue to see if there's an avenue there to really enhance our portfolio with a brand like that.
You know, a lot of investors are looking at the stock now and saying, geez, I could have bought this stock back in July at 8.5 cents. Now it's at 50 cents. Can you tell us why investors should take a look at your company as a potential long-term investment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for that question, Everett. So I think at the end of the day, once the marketplace begins to view us for what we really are, which is a brand accelerator business, you know, we're taking brands that are doing anywhere from $1 to $2 million in revenues, and in some cases maybe less than that, but we're putting them on top of our platform, you know, our distribution and sales and marketing platform, and from there, you know, we're going to get them to the point of what's called the proof of concept stage. Now, depending on the different segments of the industry that they're in, that could mean anywhere from 5 to 10 million in revenues in order for them to achieve that proof of concept stage. But the point of, or the significance of getting to that point is the fact that at that moment in time, brands in this category typically get evaluation that as far as exceeds like the valuation that we're currently getting even in the marketplace at 50 cents a share. So I think when the market in general begins to realize that, you know, the company should be valued on a multiple to revenues predicated on the fact that we do have our own brands and our brands are making a significant impact and penetration into the marketplace through distribution channels, DSDs, other wholesalers, and of course the chains directly in what they call the club channels. I think that's really where the compelling argument can be made that our company should be valued with its peers, and at that point, people will then look at it from a different perspective, we believe.
In closing, is there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch upon? I think you said a lot today. You said it all, but is there anything else that you would like to illustrate to the listeners?
Just to please follow us. We are, you know, constantly upgrading and revamping our social media platforms and our communications with the marketplace. And we really would like your viewers and listeners to please be aware that as we continue to progress in our expansion of our brands and distributions of those brands, to please be on the lookout and see that the progress that we have made, certainly from the time that you and I last spoke in July, we've made a tremendous amount of progress. And you're right. I mean, if enough people had been watching us, obviously, they would have been able to benefit. And I think that we still have a long way to go. We're just getting started, and I think that this is a scenario where people can continue to keep an eye on us and watch the announcements, watch our filings, and look at how we continue to grow in this business.
If you want to take a little bit better look at the company, go to their website, lifeonearthinc.com. Fernando, thank you very much for coming on the show. Hey, do me a favor. Don't wait 8 or 9 months to come back on my show. Please come back in about 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
Great. I will do. I will. Thank you so much, Everett.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.